It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I know what you mean.
I feel like that's how I should start every episode.
Yep.
Every time.
Yeah, you should.
I kind of do.
You sort of do.
But they should grow each time. My goal is someday will be an episode that is just an hour of me going.
Why not?
I'd have to learn circular breathing or whatever, probably.
Why not?
Or we could take it in turns.
Yeah.
And, like, tag you sure. in. And you'd be, I'm getting another breath.
That'd be great.
Let's just do that now. Let's just do that for an hour. Welcome. Welcome to Annoyed Throat Sounds. I'm your host. With me, as always, is. So, what's in the news today?
What's going on today is. The one of them not able to drive in because of the weather or some dumb thing?
I always assume until I hear otherwise that one of them is dead. Because that makes me happy.
Yeah, that would be great.
But I hate being happy. And that makes me angry. But I love being angry.
Last time that happened where...
You know, I recently found out that I think Peter Dinklage was Oscar the Grouch's feet for a couple episodes where he actually had, like, he would walk around with the thing.
No, I didn't know that.
I think I read that somewhere recently. If not, I'm being really prejudiced and I just think all little people are the same, but I feel like I did recently.
Last time we had to do this and Good
No,
William.
Shit. I might be talking about Avery Villachez, who Peter Dinklage played in a movie. So it's probably Avery Villachez, because the age would make more sense.
Yeah, the age would make more sense.
Either way, I apologize to all little people.
Well, the last time we had to do this because Good William couldn't drive, I was thinking about this. Does he drive, like, if the weather, I presume it's when it's snowy or icy. If it's rainy, will he still come? Do you know how it works?
I'm here in this universe.
Okay.
With you.
Well, I
assume when there's weather, he can't drive.
At all? Any kind of
yes.
weather? All right, because I...
So if he looks at the weather, and if it says none, he's like, all right.
Okay. Because I was
but
thinking...
if it says the thing.
If it's snow and ice-based, well, then we could give him some advice. Like, you know, there are things called greenhouse gases, and, you know, there's carbon dioxide, methane.
Yeah.
If they pump some more of that into their atmosphere... Mm-hmm. Now, for...
chlorofluoro things.
A few decades, it'll just make wonky weather. But eventually... the system will get overwhelmed and you won't get temperatures below 40 degrees after that.
That's awesome. Well, Celsius.
4 degrees Fahrenheit.
No, if you go far enough, I think. That'll work too.
But, so they should try that.
Yeah.
Then they wouldn't be bothering us.
Yeah.
Maybe someone should tell them about...
What an evil suggestion.
I think someone should tell them about greenhouse gases. But they should know. But maybe they've also... terraformed Venus and they've forgotten what it was like. So someone needs to remind them.
One of them is a big cause head. He likes to be like, guys, climate change is real. You need to put more greenhouse gases in there. And it was like, shut up. It's not man-made. We just have to hope nature makes the planet really, really hot. He's like, no, we can do it ourselves.
I don't know why people won't
he
listen to him.
He burns coal just in his front yard.
Well, there's a lot of coal in Iowa still.
Yeah.
But
I was just talking with somebody today whose parent was worked in a mine.
In Iowa?
And like, no. Oh. This was in another country, actually.
Oh, okay.
And how like fucked up they are now physically and medically and everything. And I stopped and I was like, yep. No one in the world has ever treated miners well.
No, pretty much.
I'm like,
pretty much not.
Every single country, every single era. I mean, obviously there's better and worse, but like, it has always treated miners really poorly.
It's not good. Which is why we've got so many in this universe. I don't know how many they've got over there. But
do you remember Galaxy Quest?
Yes. Yes.
And they go down to the planet looking for a beryllium sphere, and the little monster things come out, and they're like, because it's an old mine, and they're like, could those be the miners? And the other guy's like, yeah, they couldn't be more than 3 or 4 years old. And Alan Rickman smacks him. He's like, miners, not miners.
I forgot that.
I haven't seen that movie
good.
In a while. That movie holds up.
That's
I have
pretty
not
good.
Seen that movie in a while. I should watch it again.
Miners, not miners.
Yeah, with Tony Shalhoub's character, who's just high. Like, I mean, we never say it. Well, actually, at one point we do. Sam Rockwell's like, are you high? But, like, that's just it. He's just high the whole movie. I just had a really good idea. Yeah, that movie fucking holds up. I've seen that movie many times. It's one of the few movies with Tim Allen that I really like. So, you know.
Yeah, he
manages to nail Shatner without doing a Shatner impression, but like he nails the vibe of
Shatner. Is there another movie with him in it that you like? Even one?
Toy Story was good, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I love Toy Story, but
I mean, what else was he in?
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus movies can go to hell. there's some movie I didn't see. I don't like that one.
I don't know if he's actually been in that many. I mean, yeah, several, but not like...
He had a TV show for a long time.
Yeah, that was really
the
thing.
And then before that, he was just touring stand-up. And before that, he was selling Coke for many years.
Coca-Cola?
No.
You mean cocaine?
Yes, Tim Allen was big into cocaine before he became famous.
I did not know that.
Yeah, not a lot of folks do. But yeah, that was like, I want to say the 80s. Like, yeah, and he got busted for it sometimes. Yeah.
Did not know that.
He also makes a lot of money talking about how cool Michigan is.
He works for their...
He's the voiceover for their tourism commercials.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Special place. He kind of sounds like he's reading off a Pepperidge Farm script, but like in his voice, like special place where the people live a little simpler, a little more American, a little more... Wide open.
A little more American?
Michigan. No, I'm making this shit up, but okay. I mean, that's the base. That's clearly what it is. Isn't it? People from an earlier time. Things are more relaxed.
Michigan is a pretty awesome state, really. If you've ever been through
physically,
there, it's really nice.
You are correct.
What? What's that supposed to mean?
It means that there's a lot of fucked up shit in Michigan.
Oh, well, I suppose.
But it is a pretty state.
And, you know, it's a, when you drive through there, this used to be true of Iowa more, where you could be driving through Iowa and there'd be in the summertime, in the late summer especially, well, even in the early summer, because berry season, like strawberries especially, is like in June.
Oh,
you know,
I thought
pretty
you
early.
The season that we bury people.
No. But fruit stands is what I'm saying, all summer long.
Yeah.
In Iowa, you don't see that so much anymore.
No.
But in Michigan, you still do. You can be driving through Michigan, and you'll stop at a convenience store to fill up gas, and they're selling local cherries there. I mean, it's great for that.
I do have a dream to go to Marquette, Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula someday.
Upper Peninsula is fantastic.
Because that's where Joe Pera. Yeah, that's from Joe Pera. Joe Pera talks to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the little... TV show with the guy who just talks about things for like 15 minutes. Joe Pera Talks to You. It's an Adult Swim show. And like he has a whole episode about things to order for breakfast.
Okay.
There's a whole... I absolutely have talked about this before.
Well, maybe you have.
It's a comedy thing. And it's... People find it funny. I find it just very heartwarming. But it's a little Adult Swim 15-minute show. And it's this guy named Joe Pera, who is a middle school choir teacher in Marquette, Michigan. And he just talks to you about things and sometimes a little hijinks ensue, but not much. Like, the very first episode is he's going to talk to you about, I think, the history of the iron ore reserves in Michigan. But he's interrupted because somebody put the for sale sign for the house across the street in his yard, and so people come in to look for it. But he thinks it's rude, turn him away, so he actually gives them a tour of the home, and they actually make him an offer. And he's really sort of struggling with this, and he goes into town, and he goes to, like, and he goes and talks to his friend about it because he thinks he has to move. And what is he going to do? And then he finally decides he has to tell the people that he can't. And then there's one that's just him talks you to sleep, and, like, he's awake in bed, and he's like, oh, you couldn't sleep either because of the thunder? I love a good thunderstorm. And he shows that, and then he talks about, like his collection of old sheet music, and talks about, well, isn't it weird, back in the day, popular music, you just play it, so, like, your dad would be interpreting the lyrics, and he does his own little version of Rehab, but, like, changes it, so they try to make me go to rehab, and I say, oh, yes, I will go. and things like that, and he's like, and I like this one, because this one's the, you see a picture of the composer here, and he looks like a little hamburger boy. And then he says, sorry to tease. And then he goes on, and just the sweetest, nicest thing. And slowly you get it more of a plot involved because there's a band teacher and he kind of is interested in her. And so, like, there becomes an overarching story. There's one that's all about the fall drive he takes to dispose of his jack-o'-lanterns. And it's actually a really cool thing. He takes a drive upstate and he visits a different waterfall every year, but he takes a drive and he finds, because there's a bunch of waterfalls.
Oh, yeah, beautiful ones.
And he, like, basically gives it a send-off. And it's really kind of neat tradition. But it starts, he's like, because it turns out that he's, like, really unsettled by jack-o'-lanterns. And you find out that he was talking with his friends about it, and his friend Gene is like, well, that's because when you make a jack-o'-lantern, you give it a piece of your soul. Like, 1/16 specifically.
Well, then you only get 16.
That was the thing. He's like, I know I've made more than 16 of these. He's like, no, your soul can come back. He's like, you can renew it. And he says, well, how do you do that? And Gene's like, you take a Carnival cruise. And Gene's wife is there. He's like, Gene. He's like, well, that's not the only way. Teenagers look at a music video. And he says, you know, what about taking a fall drive? And Gene's like, that could work. And so then he started this whole thing. And I've absolutely talked about this before.
I do not remember a thing about
this. It's supposed to be funny because he's really, like, awkward and weird, but he's just so fucking earnest. It just warms my heart, and it's just so soothing.
But he's not a real guy.
And well, he is.
Oh.
There's a real person. His name is Joe Pera. But he's a comedian, and this is, like, a bit that he is in. They put together the show. And I think there's a couple of, like, animated versions of this that were already out there, and then they turned it into the show. And there's only, like, 9 episodes, but I love it. And it's so soothing. It's one I love to watch it, like, shortly before bed because it's very calm. But then there's, like, weird shit. Like, there's one where he goes to church, and he's supposed to read the church announcements, and he goes up to do this, but then he interrupts himself, and he's, like, have you guys ever heard of The Who? And it turns out that a few days ago he was listening to the radio and they played Baba O'Reilly from The Who and he loved it and he'd never heard it before. Mm. And so, like, he calls the station, he finds out, and then he, like, calls every radio station out getting to play it just all night long, and he's obsessed with it, and he orders pizza, and, like, the pizza guy comes, it's like, you have to hear this song, and he just, for, like, 3 or 4 days, he's just obsessed with this song. And yeah, so stuff like that. It's
I don't weird. Think you've ever talked to me about this.
Really?
It seems like I'd remember.
Joe Pera talks to you. Oh, well, and it's true. I would have made you watch it, I would think, because it's an amazing show. I love this show. And he's just very, very.
The Upper Peninsula is awesome.
And I think it's typically, there's a moment where he's at a wedding. His coworker invited him to the wedding. And he doesn't really know people, but he likes being there. And the whole episode's mostly about dance. He thinks dancing is cool and people can, like, you know, be free or whatever, but he doesn't really have the guts to it. And he's sitting next to this guy and this old, much, much older gentleman. And they're just sitting there sort of watching. And the older guy says, I don't like all these men wearing earrings. Seems disrespectful. And Joe turns and says, Have to agree to disagree there, Gene. I've known some guys with some jewelry in there, and they were perfectly nice fellas.
Have to agree to disagree.
Like that, yeah, this is the vibe of him the whole time. There's an entire episode about what he's going to have for breakfast at this diner. And he's talking about it, and he visits different tables like where people are, and they talk about other stuff, and they're like, what are you going to have? He's like, can't say yet. And it goes along to another thing. It's so sweet, and it's just, yeah, it just feels so earnest. I really like it.
It sounds very Midwestern, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Well, Albert, there's an episode where he and the band teacher end up writing a musical about the Alberta extermination force or something. So in Alberta, there are no rats. And that's been true since like 1948 or something. Because somebody, there were lots of rats all over, and somebody who was like the governor or whatever decided he was going to get rid of them. And there is literally a government organization that is just exterminates rats throughout the province.
And they managed to actually make them go extinct in that geographical
area?
Well,
or at least they keep them down. I mean, they keep them so that they essentially aren't there. And if they are, they immediately get killed. Like, it's still going to this day.
Oh.
It's a real thing.
Like a fire department, except for rats.
Yeah, and for the whole province, yeah. And they write a musical about it. And yeah, it's such a fucking weird show, but I really like it. It's very nice. Talks about the soothing sounds of different liquids being poured. And what's that like? And he doesn't really like dominoes. That's the episode about falling asleep. But anyway. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world. It's like those unboxing videos, but we don't have any boxes and there's no video.
Yep.
I'm Evil Tony.
And I'm Evil William.
And we don't know what episode this is. Stop asking.
We don't know.
I'm sick of it.
We just know that the other universe needs more greenhouse gases. Yeah. That's what we
know. Don't we all?
Yeah, but we got plenty over here.
I learned recently, and I learned this on the internet. But, excuse me. In such a fashion that it absolutely is probably not true. I don't know. But, so, this is going to get a little bit weird. So, farts.
This is going to get a little bit weird.
Farts.
Yeah.
So, like, you got to fart, but it's really not an appropriate time to fart. So you just, like, kind of hold it in.
Sure.
And then sometimes it, like, goes back up, sort of.
Okay.
Like.
I think I know what you're
saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, you know, swallowing them. But, yeah, like, suddenly it's just right? That's not right. But, well, apparently when that does that, it can literally be reabsorbed into the bloodstream. And then eventually it comes out as a belch.
Okay.
So you're burping farts. You have fart burps. So when someone belches, it could be fart breath.
I mean.
That's gross. But it's funny because you can be like, dude, you have fart breath.
Okay.
I said weird, not interesting. So, okay, for those of you listening, why are you listening? Makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
There's a hat, it's magic. Has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, and people, sad lives.
Sad people. Yes.
Lonely, I assume, people.
Yeah, I assume that too.
People just reaching out for any human or even haberdashery-related connection.
Careful. You might start talking about the things they do to make themselves feel better, like serial killing or something, and then they'll start to get interesting.
That's true. people who, for whatever stupid reason, don't want to kill, murder. Anyway.
Pathetic people, not yes. cool people like no, serial killers.
No, not too real, man. That didn't feel right. That did not feel right.
Wow, I love it. I love it when I cross one of your lines. That's like, are there any?
I'm just
there is.
I'm just like,
there's a geography here.
I feel like I've read that on the internet unironically. I don't know about that.
Wow.
Anyway, but people write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com. There's just a thing right now where everybody thinks Ted Bundy's really sexy, and I'm not.
Oh, that's just
enjoying
weird.
Enjoying that.
That's just weird.
And I'm not even saying they're wrong. I'm just like, can we not? Anyway.
Because of that Netflix show?
Because it's been brought up, and so people are seeing pictures, and they're like, "That's a handsome fucking man."
I have never understood people. Well, of course, you know me. I'm not going to understand either way. But I just don't get where the people think that about.
There is that condition or whatever where you think criminals are hot, and I forget what it's called or whatever.
That's a thing?
Yeah, it's essentially a paraphilia of criminality. It turns you on, and that's frequently why you find these inmates on death row, and then they like people get engaged to them and shit
and
like
stuff,
that.
Yeah.
And there is an argument out there that Bonnie from Bonnie and Clyde may have had that, based not just on her experiences with Clyde, but like her earlier experiences and stuff. There's something that can imply that.
Interesting.
But anyway, people, not those people, write into the email address, themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com, with little questions, topics, notes, cries for help, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifests physically within the hat itself. Some dorks draw those note cards out of the hat, read them on the air, talk about them till whenever, and do that for about an hour, but frequently they don't manage it. And when they are unavailable, the universe conspires to bring us here.
The multiverse, really.
The multiverse conspires.
Then we, who have goatees, have to do the show instead.
We who have goatees.
Yes.
Salute you.
If you write in your cries for help, we will make fun of them.
Absolutely.
So.
That was you were reminding me of one of the earlier Strong Bad emails. It's like, till next week, send me an email so I can make fun of you.
Yep.
All right.
That's the way this works, people.
There's a whole subreddit called Roast Me. And people put up pictures of themselves. And they have to hold a sign in the picture that says roast me so you can prove you didn't just take a random picture from somewhere.
Because they're turned on by people who roast them?
I don't know if they're turned on. They just
want
it to be
Bundy thing?
They just want to see what people will say about them that's insulting.
No, but I realize that I don't generally have opinions about whether or not guys are good looking or not. However, I do spot, like, I understand when people talk about.
You can appreciate aesthetic.
Well, Chris Hemsworth, for example. Yeah. I mean, I know what people are saying there because he conforms to certain things that I've, lots of guys but this
incredibly symmetrical face.
Whatever it is, I don't know what it is. But when people talk about Ted Bundy being attractive or whatever, he doesn't look like any of those guys.
No.
So I don't know what they're talking about.
I do generally think he's handsome, but I mean not like. Stand out in a crowd.
But that's what they're saying.
He only stands out in a crowd because he's a fucking serial killer.
They're saying he's charming.
Yeah.
And he's
well, and I think people just think it's sort of funny to be like that. And honestly,
well, what do they
charisma can be a useful thing. In
what do they expect a serial killer to look like, really?
Clint Howard.
I get, who's that? Oh, is that the guy that wore people's skin?
No, he's an actor. Oh. It's Ron Howard's younger brother.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's been in a ton of movies.
But he looks like that guy. No, he doesn't.
Jesus Christ.
No, he doesn't. I'm just joking.
But, all due deference to Clint Howard, he plays ugly things in movies. He has for many decades.
Who's the serial killer that wore people's skin? Who was that guy? He lived out in the country. I don't know.
I don't.
He didn't seem like he was that
Leatherface?
Is that what they called him?
No, that's from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I don't know a lot about actual serial killers.
Maybe that's what the Texas
A lot of people are way into that. I don't get interested by that at all.
Also, well, obviously, because, I can't even remember the guy's name.
As has been pointed out many, many times, actual serial killers tend to be boring as shit. Because the cool, like, super intelligent ones that we have on TV shows or whatever, very rare. Most commonly, serial killers tend to be of below average intelligence, and they're just really obsessive about their killing.
Yeah. Well, so. and people, sometimes people get impressed with how long they could get away with this. Like, yeah. What are you talking about? If you're killing a stranger, there's almost no way you're going to get caught. Because
and also, it's way less common as time goes on, and forensic science improves, and global communication improves.
Right, but even forensics, if they get your hair, whatever, they have to have something to compare it to.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're killing random strangers, sometimes far away from your home, there's very little that they're going to have to go on to catch you, so it's not that impressive.
What's the one they did, though, just recently, the Golden Gate Killer? Because
he posted some.
No.
Is that the DNA thing?
Yes, his, I believe, brother.
Oh, his brother
did like an ancestry thing.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you do any of those ancestry DNA kit things, those are absolutely in federal databases now. Like it's been proven. Trish wouldn't let us do it because she was worried about that. And I was like, that makes sense. And like, no, it absolutely is. But like, they got one and they're like, this is a close enough match that this is like a sibling. And so then they started looking around there and they found him.
But that's part of the bad thing about that is I was just talking to someone about this today. It's not just bad that they have my DNA, which I don't want them to have. Having my DNA means they know stuff about my parents, my siblings, my nieces and nephews. If I had kids, they'd know something about them. So
plus, a lot of the stuff they tell you about your heritage is often a lie.
Well, not so much a lie. It's just not.
In some cases, it's a straight up lie. I told you about this too. Like they would change. They've changed things when they thought it could lead to problems.
Well, the service that I've used are very straight.
Forward. You used one of these?
Oh yeah.
I thought you just said you didn't like it.
I don't like that the government can just get it.
Oh, but you just did it not realizing that would happen?
Well, this was some time ago, and I did worry about that being a possibility, of course, like all the other data you've got. But I don't know. I guess at the time I knew that there were some people who were going to try to stop that from happening, and I thought, well, maybe they'll be successful. I mean, not likely, but maybe they will. So then it became a sort of a cost-benefit analysis for my genealogy research. And I thought, you know what? What the heck? I mean, just what the heck? So I went ahead and did it. And I'm still not sorry I did it, but I don't like the news about how governments have gotten a hold of this stuff. So, but it bothers me more the stuff they know about, you know, my family than the stuff they know about me. But that's how it is. So there's nothing I can do about it now. But I'm an old man, so what are they, you know, they're never going to care about anything I'm doing. Or
I don't know. I've been giving them a lot of tips.
Giving them a lot of tips.
Send them anonymous information.
A lot of good things have come from it, by the way. We've found some relatives, and we've made contact, and we've met these people, and it's been great.
Sweet.
It's been worth what I wanted to get out of it.
Yeah.
I suppose we'll see down the road if it's.
I have been lucky in that it wasn't ever a debate because I'm just like, oh, I don't really care.
Well, if I didn't have a reason to do it, I wouldn't have done it.
No. And that's the thing. And I don't. My sort of genealogy and stuff, I am not super interested
in. Yeah. Well, I just was. And so I went ahead and.
Other people in my family have done projects on it. And so I know a few interesting things. And that's kind of cool. But.
Well, for me, genealogy is about learning the history of ordinary people. You know, a lot of history that you learn in school or even when you study history in college, it's the history of specific people.
Yeah.
This isn't how ordinary people lived, and most the vast majority of people in the world for all time have been ordinary people. So what was life for them? And so genealogy is an avenue for me to study those things. It's not the only way to study that, but that's a way that I can study it. And I'm interested in it quite a bit. So,
Tell it to the cardboard. All right, I don't even remember what we were talking about before, but anyway, we should probably draw a thing.
Were we talking about something before?
I feel like this started someplace.
Oh, and then we... Yeah.
I lost track.
No, you're probably right. Sorry, anyone who was following that and thought we were going to get back.
I'm not sorry. I'm evil.
Jazz! Playing
with a piece of cardboard, by the way, if there's lots of annoying background noise.
Jazz wants to know.
What does Jazz want to know?
If you were going to make a study of one animal species, not human beings. She had to be specific because she knows how interested we are in human beings. Mm-hmm. Which would it be and why? Wow. That's...
Ooh. That is tough. Because there's nothing that jumps out.
Oh, geez, I've got a lot to jump out.
No, see, and that's for me. There's nothing that jumps out.
Really?
There's things that I'm like, could be interesting, but there's nothing like, oh, I would really love that one. Mm. And almost everything that I think is because of like a very specific aspect, and there's nothing to just in general. I can't think of something that I'm really fascinated by that particular thing.
Oh, boy, let's see. Fruit bats. Just because I think they're cool.
Well, that's part of it. I'm like, would my study involve being able to be around that animal? Because that could change it up.
Well, I don't want to hurt
like
it.
Something. No, but like,
I just want to observe,
you know,
it.
I want to be able to like check them out up close. Yeah. That could do it. It could be like, I don't even care what I find out. I just like the idea of hanging around with them. So there could be something like that.
Social insects of just about any kind. Ants. Probably ants.
Yeah, I'm not doing insects.
But also, primates, I'm not particularly interested in primates as a subject, but there are certain topics in primate social behavior that I think need to be better explored.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I wish I could remember this researcher's name, but, you know, one of the things he discovered was that the whole alpha male thing was probably wrong, and that and that when he observed a troop, or I don't remember what they're called, chimpanzees, and the alpha male died or something, and it was never replaced.
Yeah.
And the overall health of the troop improved. No. So it's like, oh, so I guess when it comes to primates, it's not really so much an alpha male thing. It's just there are jerks, and it's just like in our world, a jerk makes things worse, not better.
And actually,
and there's no survival benefit to it either.
I had seen some stuff on this, and then recently it came up. I saw the segment from Adam Ruins Everything on this. The alpha male concept in basically any species is bullshit.
Right.
And it originally started in wolves, and it was a thing this guy saw, and then 20 years later... he saw this studying wolves in captivity, and 20 years later he saw it he went into the wild and didn't see it. And he finally figured out that a lot of the shit he was seeing was just parents and children. But he also found out that it just doesn't work, and he dedicated huge chunks of his life to trying to debunk his own theory, but by then it had really taken off.
People still talk about it like it's a fact.
And there have been instances of seeing it in higher primates, not a statistically significant number. There have been plenty of instances that where essentially the leaders of the group were not that type.
And also, where you do have an alpha male type in the group, it is harmful. It's harmful to the whole group. There's no they've done genetic testing on offspring or whatever. There's no survival benefit to it. It's just sometimes there's jerks among primates, just like
and sometimes with humans. You can bully your way into being the top.
That's right.
Like just, you can in
just like with life. Humans, and just like with humans, it's overall a bad thing. Yes. It's not good. There's no survival benefit to it.
There
just
are also plenty
sometimes.
Of examples in higher primates where more solicitous and kind and communicative and cooperative individuals become the leader of a particular group.
And that seems to be beneficial. Now, so what interests me is now that we've had all these years of getting it wrong and people being so biased about it, it would be interesting to go in with fresh eyes and see, try to specifically find a group where you know there's no alpha whatever, mm-hmm. and see how they do actually coordinate their behavior, how they do actually, you know, what kinds of, like, I know as a sociologist what the social forms of interaction is for humans, are they the same? For example, do they have exchange relationships? Do they trade, mm-hmm. right? Is there anything mm-hmm. similar to trade? Do they make accounts? Like, whatever the species we're talking about, does this particular primate, can they make a mistake or some social transgression that they have to apologize for in a way? Mm-hmm. See, that's a very specific human thing. So I'm curious to know if they do that. And I think that a lot of that stuff might've been sort of papered over by people only looking at, well, there's the dominant and then there's the hierarchy, and missing all of the more subtle things that are yep. going on in primate interactions. But I'm also fascinated by elephants.
Elephants are pretty awesome.
Because elephant society could be very interesting and complex. And they've only fairly recently started to comprehend how they communicate in sounds that we don't normally hear. So that's all fascinating and interesting. I suppose it's a little too obvious an answer, because almost all of my answers are about social behavior,
which is my thing animals. Too. Except then you went into insects,
social insects.
Yeah.
Now the bat thing, even though they're fairly social also, I just like fruit bats. I think they're so cool. I just would like to know more about them. But the other species that I've mentioned, it's kind of because I'm interested in really their most human traits, basically. And I want to see how they do it differently than we do. And what things they have or don't have.
Yeah. See, I have so much trouble with this, because I get into like, why am I wanting to do this? Am I wanting to do this so I can interact with a particular type of animal? Am I wanting to do this because I personally want to know more about a particular animal? Am I wanting to do this because I feel the world's knowledge of such things has a gap here and I want to be able to fix it? Am I studying a particular animal because I think I could discover something and then be like famous for having discovered that? Like, there's a lot of reasons to do it. So, I mean, if we're just talking about, like, for my own personal edification, what animal species would I like to learn more about? Like, hippos are a big one.
Yeah.
Kind of fascinated by hippos. Especially once I've learned that they are just, like, straight up murderers, like, all the fucking time.
Do you ever wonder, though?
Hippos are deadly, motherfuckers.
Do you ever wonder if you observed, like, marine mammals or something in the proper way, that you might discover a proto-culture among, say, dolphins or killer whales or something like that, and that might be fascinating?
Yeah, the starting point of culture is always tricky, and a lot claim it's in language, and there have been a lot of recent discoveries amongst various groups of animals that there's a lot more communicative things than for, like, what is it? I think prairie dogs. They've discovered now that prairie dogs can make sounds to identify specific features of, like, individuals. So, like, if you show up and you're wearing a red shirt or whatever, like, they will be able to differentiate. They will be able to make sounds that will differentiate to that level.
Interesting.
And, of course, dolphins have tremendous language shit going on there, and whales. Yeah, a lot of it marine mammals. So it's possible. And I mean, a lot of the stuff in higher primates is really fascinating. And it might be bonobos, because I just like bonobos. Bonobos are cool. I like the fact that they handle everything with sex. I do, because it's so much not violent. Like, I like that. Like, everything is just like, oh, it's sex. We like sex. It's fine. And bonobos are some of the few ones that, like, openly practice masturbation. They're some of the few ones that will have face-to-face sex. ones that will openly have same-sex interaction and opposite-sex interaction and everything, like, all over the place. And it's, I don't know, it feels like it's so much better than, like, fighting and arguing and stuff like that. I'm like, this is how we solve things. And
love, not war kind of deal.
Exactly. And so I want to study that because I think that's really cool. Also, that feels a little glib. That's what we're all taught about bonobos. But I feel like that feels a little glib. So maybe study more to find out really more of what's going on. Because, you know, maybe people started studying bonobos and were like, holy crap, they fuck everything all the time. And then we just haven't been able to get past that point. Because that's all we ever fucking talk about with bonobos.
For me, one thing that I wonder about when it comes to...
They're also cute. Bonobo chimpanzees are cute.
When it comes to animal, a possible protoculture among animals is aesthetic. Like, is there an aesthetic sense to, you know, is there some way for us to test or see if dolphins have a certain sense, I don't know, of beauty or a sense of an aesthetic that they prefer? I kind of wonder about that. I don't know how you would even test that.
And I mean,
that,
in individuals, you can sort of do that in captivity, you know, preferences for things, you could do that to a degree. But, I mean, it's a trip because it's all definitions, it's all symbols.
Yeah.
Like, to start figuring out if you got a culture, you have to figure out if you got a language. And start figuring out you got a language, you have to prove symbolism. You have to prove that this stands for something else in
right.
the mind of those beings.
That's right.
And then once you get there, because the problem is things like beauty are symbolic.
Right, that's right.
And so you have to prove they're capable of symbols, and then you have to prove they have something for that, that, like, this is an aesthetic thing. And you can't even, like, even when you're dealing with, once there are animals, a lot of insect types and I think crustacean types and things that will, like, decorate themselves
for mating things or whatever.
It's not aesthetic. It's literally the more of these means more,
or the brightest color, or whatever. Right.
It's a very if then kind of thing.
There's no nuance
to it.
But, like, you know, a question for me would be, like, this pod of dolphins over here. Do they have preferences that are different from this pod over here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That clearly aren't. It's not genetic. You know, that's not an instinctual thing. It's actually a preference, and not just of one, like this dolphin likes this kind of fish or that kind of, but it's a group. There's a group kind of idea.
And you have to
find that,
and then you have to figure out if that's what, because I mean,
and it's communicated.
And you got to eliminate variables and all that. It could have been because of something else. And the fun one that's been coming up a lot, sort of in our adult lifetimes, remember when we always used to say, what separates humans from other animals is tool use.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to hear that all the time.
Holy shit. Everything uses tools.
Yeah, lots of animals do.
Trish just recently watched this thing on fish, and there was this particular kind of fish that had this deal where I don't remember how, but they eventually caught, like, a clam, and then they took it back to what's an area called their kitchen, because it was a particular rock that had sort of a concavity to it, and in the middle had a point that sticked out. And the fish would throw the rock, or throw the clam into it, and do this repeatedly until it finally hit the little point in the middle enough that it would break open.
Huh.
And so it literally had, it was a tool, but it was a stationary tool. So they would have to get the food and then bring it back to their...
Well, they'd also have to find it, that rock.
And that same spot every time. So I love the idea of their kitchen.
Yeah.
Because of that kind of thing. But yeah, their fish are fucking using tools. Like, yeah, we were so wrong on
ravens,
that.
Ravens, chimpanzees.
I remember the big thing was the chimpanzee. That was the first one I remember, is they would see the chimpanzees take a stick and stick it in the log and
lick
get the termites.
Get it sticky with their saliva, then stick it in the
and
hole
they were
and
like,
pull it out.
Oh my God, they really are like us. And nowadays it's like, no, all sorts of fucking things use tools. You dumbasses.
But see how this works, though. People get a preconceived notion, and it actually makes them blind to certain behaviors for a long time until someone goes, hey, why didn't we see this? So it's actually really harmful for us to come up with these things and then put on these glasses so that we can't even see the truth for maybe generations before we realized we were wrong.
But with that knowledge comes great danger. Because then you have a whole swath of people who are like, science is always figuring out that they were wrong about that and there's stuff they didn't know. So I'm just going to ignore all of this shit that science has determined so far.
Of course, that's just going the opposite extreme, which is wrong, just as wrong.
Well, and this idea that you have to pick sides. Either what science says is absolutely 100% definitely true no matter what, or it's all bullshit.
That's right, which that's ridiculous. But also,
it could be like, this is what we think. There are complications.
Also, you need to acknowledge that the reason that happens, the reason that we assert these things and then we can't see the truth for a generation or two, isn't because science is broken. It's because social organization is broken. Some guy's whole reputation revolves around this, and he has a lot of political clout. That's not how science works. Well, that's how politics works.
Science is a tool.
Yeah, that's right.
It is not. And especially science within a society is a tool that can be used for good or evil.
That's right.
You can interpret things really fucked up. Oh, my God. Did I talk to you about this? The study that did the jumping out of airplanes with a backpack, with a parachute versus a regular backpack?
I don't think so.
It was a thought exercise for many years that basically showed you can't test everything empirically. And the idea was you can't test if it's more effective jumping out of an airplane with a parachute versus just an empty backpack. Because who are you going to get to test it?
Sure.
And that would suck. So these people did it. And they published it. And they published it in the right way, and everything was correct. And people were really shocked, and it made headlines and shit like that. And they absolutely did it. The distance jumped from the plane was approximately 2 feet. The plane was on the ground. You saw pictures of people standing on the wing and jumped off. But the methodology was perfect. And they did it to prove the point. Like, just because you did a fucking study... Because here's the thing. Their conclusions were there was no difference.
Yeah, right.
Because there wasn't.
Right.
So, yeah, they did this to prove a point that, like, saying there's a study on something don't make it true.
No, you've got to look at the study.
And you have to come to conclusions, and you have to have damn good reasons for coming for those conclusions.
And someone somewhere should have tried to replicate the results.
Yep.
If that hasn't happened...
Well, and that's a huge thing. Nobody does that because it's not sexy. Nobody gets a grant to just try and replicate shit
we've
already learned.
That's
you discover things, that's a big deal. And then nobody goes back. And when they do go back, so many studies don't work a second time.
That's right.
So.
It's a real problem.
Everything is a lie. Don't believe anyone. A serial killer.
Read studies. Read them. You might be able to tell yourself whether or not the study makes any sense.
I hate that.
Well, and the thing that's really what annoys me isn't so much people going to extremes on science knows everything or science knows nothing. It's the people who agree that science knows something, and this is what science knows because these cherry pick studies say.
Yeah.
You know, cherry picking studies. Oh, I hate when people do that.
Yeah.
I hate when people do that. But people do it all the time, and they accuse other people of doing it, not them. But they do it all the time.
Well, I've literally seen recently somebody tried to prove their point with a particular study, and everybody's like, "You based that on the title, didn't you? Because if you read the abstract, their results were the exact opposite.
Yep, the exact opposite. Yep.
Like, you clearly didn't even read the abstract on this.
Yep, that often happens too. Yep.
All right, give me a thing. I'll draw a thing.
Oh, you're going to draw a thing? Wow, you almost never draw things.
Yeah, I know. You know, my name's Evil Tony, and I like to draw things. Craig.
Craig. Our old buddy Craig.
We call him the Scottish Hatling. Like the Scottish play. You can't call him by name. It's bad luck.
Well, we already did, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're in trouble. What, you thought good luck? Come on.
Yeah.
Does the podcast, so I should do it in a Scottish accent.
Do you good? Do
no,
good? You
no.
don't?
So a few years ago,
I don't either.
In the UK, a tennis player by the name of Andy Murray won Wimbledon.
Okay.
And it was a big deal because Wimbledon is, you know, a British tennis tournament.
Yeah.
And no Brit had won it in like 76 years.
Oh, wow.
And it was a very Tiger Woods thing, how, like, you know, Tiger Woods was a black golfer, and then when he was winning, he was biracial and shit like that. So it was like Andy Murray was Scottish, and then when he was winning, he was British. That kind of thing. But I'm watching this panel show, and they were talking about it, and they had him in the audience. Like, he came in, he was a fan of the show, so they had him in the audience, and they were giving him some, like, joshing and things like that. But near the end, they were doing this thing that was segments of unlikely things that Andy Murray might be thinking in his head. And there were some great ones. But there's one where this guy, who generally is a fairly, like, inoffensive, he's a fairly nice, clean comedian or whatever. I don't know. He just walks up and he tilts his head vaguely like a hunchback or whatever and starts saying, "When I was growing up in Scotland..." And everybody just stops and they're like, the man is in the audience. What are you doing? And it was just the most terribly weird. Like, it was Scottish, but it was also like he was playing a very old Scottish, like, witch fortune teller. Such a weird. I don't know. And nobody knew why he did that. He is kind of a random guy. This is one where they had unlikely things to hear from a bank teller, I think. And he walked out and he said, "Ooh, welcome to the bakery."
Welcome to the bakery.
And they're like, technically, unlikely thing to hear from a bank teller.
But he could have just said it normally and that's
yeah,
still
no,
would
but
have...
he made, "Woo." Yeah. All right. Anyway, so I'm not doing a Scottish accent, Craig.
Okay.
I feel like Craig's disappointed more than relieved, but too bad. Does the podcast celebrate National Hat Day, which is apparently the 15th of January?
Hmm.
What nation?
Yeah, national.
Yeah. Is that us or is that yous?
I don't know.
And it's important because depending on the answer, no. Regardless. Either country. No.
Nope.
Podcast doesn't. Also, you've been listening for well over 7 years. Unless this is a new national holiday. Have you heard us? Them? Celebrate it? No. Let's talk about these holidays.
Let's do.
They piss me off.
They do?
They do. They didn't used to. But they really feel like commercials now. They feel like marketing.
Well, that's what they always were, really. Weren't they? I mean, to bring awareness to this, that, or the other thing. Or to,
yeah,
to
except give... that to bring awareness to... breast cancer, to bring awareness
oh, no,
to
but,
black history.
But like donuts.
To bring awareness, exactly. What the fuck?
To sell more donuts.
We don't, exactly.
We don't, like, need to sell more donuts?
No, I'm just saying, like, we got too many of those. Oh, or donuts. Also.
I love me some
I mean,
donuts, though.
Motherfucker. International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Well, sure. I mean, that's.
What is.
That's
no.
kind of making fun of the days, though, in a way.
Except that people do it. And then it's just crazy. This is International Shove a Pancake in Between Your Butt Cheeks and Whistle Day. Like,
oh, you shouldn't have said that. It's going to be a thing now.
June 32nd. Like, it's National Kick Your Mom in the Head Day. Like, why are we? It's National Buy This Very Specific Product Day. I don't, and also, there's so many layers because some of these are like genuinely some governing body has like backed it up, like the UN calls it international something, or the government has officially declared it whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And other ones, it's like, yeah, it's National Taco Day. Who said? Taco Bell. Shut up.
Well, then let's go to Taco John's.
Today's just the day that people said go to Taco Bell. Whatever. Move on. It's not a real day. It's not a thing. Today is International Taco Bell's got a commercial.
I feel the exact opposite about it. I don't.
You just want them to all be.
I love it. I just whatever you say the day is, great. I'll do it.
I don't know when you're telling me what kind of day. Make my own day.
Well, now, there are some times where it's not very fun.
People buy cookies in my office on National Cookie Day.
Isn't that great?
Yes, because cookies are awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like...
I mean, who cares what reason they use?
But
they
what if it's something shitty? Like... People in my office talk like a pirate a bunch on Talk Like a Pirate Day. And you say, isn't that great? For 5 minutes.
Well, I don't know about that one.
It's really annoying.
But donuts and cookies and, you know.
Yeah, but to me, that there's too much power just being thrown around.
Not really. I mean, no one's holding a gun to these people's heads. They want to do it.
No.
They're just looking for an excuse to do it, and then they get an excuse, so they do it. That's why I like them, because they give you an excuse to do, like, for example, donuts. There's National Donut Day, but there's a lot of other holidays that you could celebrate by buying donuts. You see? You can justify buying donuts. You know, some people don't need a justification, but some people, it's a little extra something to give them a good reason to buy donuts.
This is, okay.
See what I'm saying?
I do, but this is what I'm going to throw at you here. This is a curveball. It probably doesn't work, but I'm going to do it anyway.
All right.
Recently,
mm-hmm.
the Chinese government tested the DNA of several million of its citizens forcibly. Like, took samples from them to make a database for it.
Oh, okay.
Because that's the kind of shit the Chinese government does. We have the exact same thing. We just marketed it to people and said, hey, find out your family history.
Yep, right.
This is what I'm saying. It's a slippery slope. Right now, it's just buy donuts. And yes, they're choosing to do it, but we talked them into it because they wouldn't have bought donuts that day if we didn't say, hey, it's International Donut Day.
You have a point.
And so this is a power that can be abused, both for the annoying and then for the insidiously, because then it becomes... I mean, anything. Flag Day is a version of this already.
You've got a point, but donuts. I mean,
donuts
I can't
are
get
awesome.
Past the donut. I can't get, personally, can't get past. I know, I hear what you're saying, and I think you're right, but the donuts, man.
Well, and okay, this is another difference between you and I. We both love donuts.
Yeah.
We both buy donuts.
Yes.
We both need the donut industry to continue to exist so that we can buy donuts.
Yeah, want anyway. I don't know if need. Definitely want. So
in order for us to continue to buy donuts.
That's true. We need it for that.
But that's where it stops for me. If somehow the donut business could still prosper and nobody else that I didn't know ever ate donuts, I'm fucking fine with it. You're about, like, share the love of the donut.
Yeah, I love to share the love of the donut.
I want the donuts. I understand there has to be a certain level of acceptance in order for me to be able to still access them. But beyond that, I don't give a shit if they like donuts. I don't like donuts. So, I mean, I think that is a fundamental.
But what about celebrating your love of donuts?
I do that with, so often.
With other people who can...
No, I don't care for other people.
Participate in your celebration.
Like, no, you know what happens when you have donuts and you celebrate with other people? You don't get all the donuts.
You don't eat all of the donuts.
Donuts. Dude, I once bought a dozen Krispy Kremes. I ate 11 of them.
Well, why didn't you eat all of them?
Because I was with somebody and I said,
"Oh,
I had to offer a donut.
Okay,
I had one.
So you had to be paid.
I ate the 11. Myself.
See, I can't eat that many at one time.
It wasn't in a sitting, but it was like in 24 hours.
No, I still couldn't do it.
I've got skills.
A certain set of skills.
I will find you. I will buy a dozen of you.
You call the bakery.
11 of you.
You call the bakery and tell them to send you 11 donuts.
If you send me your donuts, this ends right here. I won't find you. But if you don't, I will hunt you down. And I will eat all your donuts.
Oh my God. A certain set of skills.
Yeah, a certain set of skills. I think I've eaten a Krispy Kreme in one bite before.
Dunkin'. See that? It'll be called Dunkin', not Taken.
I like that. Although I don't care for Dunkin' Donuts these days.
I guess I don't either.
They used to be like homemade. Like now they're fakey shit.
Yeah, you're right.
Daylight is the way to go in this town.
Pardon?
Daylight.
Oh, I don't. I haven't had those yet.
That's because they're in this. No, Daylight is absolutely the way to go. We've talked about this. Hertz is a good dessert.
Yeah.
It's not donut.
I think Hy-Vee makes some good ones.
Hy-Vee's good. Yeah. Hy-Vee's good. But Daylight's where it is.
I gotta get some of those.
Yeah. There's only the one spot donut is on this side, and they're only open till like 1 p.m. They're just about the donuts.
Oh, and then Kelowna donuts are pretty good.
That is true. You go to the fucking Amish bakery, I mean, that's a whole other world.
Yeah, that's a whole other world.
It's an Amish world. Donuts made without buttons, donuts made without zippers.
And you can't call them and tell them that you have a certain set of skills.
Donuts made
without telephones.
As they're raising a barn.
It's not quite like that, but it's funny to
joke. It's true, though. There are no zippers on those donuts.
They don't have goatees either. They have those beards that...
And they're all...
Go around the face like that.
They're all horse-driven donuts. No combustion engine donuts. The donuts just read scripture all night by candlelight.
Candlelight, yep. No.
All right, we're over, and so we should stop. So, all right, remember, I don't care about your damn holidays, but give me some donuts.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.